Today we present Crashing Timber, the second program in a series on forest conservation featuring Bill Scott, Forest Ranger. In Beaver Dam Forest, big trees are crashing down near Shut-Eye Ridge. The timber harvest is on, marking an important step in the proper management of a forest and the fulfillment of the cherished dream of a man now dead. Away from the loggers, near a little woods road, Ranger Bill Scott is at work measuring some logs which have been cut from the fallen trees. Helping him with log tally book in hand is Ranger Bill's pretty niece, June Cameron, neatly togged out with bright lumberjack shirt, boots, and dungarees. As Ranger Bill calls out the measurements, June records them. Suddenly, the ranger's body tenses. His eyes dart quickly overhead. His voice rings out in warning.
June, walk toward me. Walk fast.
What is it, Uncle Bill?
Do as I say.
I'm coming. That big limb, it's all right where I was standing. Why, it might have hit me.
Got to be more careful, June, when you're out on a logging job.
Oh, but I didn't hear a thing. How did you know it was going to fall, Uncle Bill?
I heard it crack or sensed it, maybe. At any rate, something made me look up, and there was that widowmaker teetering up there.
Widowmaker?
Yes, that's what the lumberjacks call those big old dead limbs or branches that often break loose, as this one did. The lumberjacks claim that they make more widows than anything else in this dangerous logging business.
Golly, before I stand under a tree again, I'm going to look up every time. There'll be no widows in my family because of my carelessness.
So no husband of yours is ever going to be a widow, eh, June? No, seriously, it's a good idea to keep your eyes and ears wide open when you're out in the woods.
Uncle Bill, shouldn't those two boys be here by now?
Joe and Sam? No, I reckon they didn't finish washing those breakfast dishes at the boys' camp as quickly as they expected. Well, they'll be along.
Well, I hope they don't get lost again.
Well, they shouldn't. I told them exactly how to get here. Well, suppose we finish this job here. Just one more big log to scale, this one.
What we're doing then is scaling logs. I want to remember that for the kids at school.
Well, putting it more simply, June, what we're doing is measuring the good or sound wood in these logs. You know, that's what the buyer of this timber pays for, the sound wood only. Now, this log is 16 feet long. The diameter up here at the top is 36 inches. And not a bit of rot showing anywhere.
Length, 16 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Diameter, 36 inches.
That's it.
The scale table shows contents in board feet, 920.
Right. Now, put that down in your book.
920 board feet. Let's see now. You told me what a board foot is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. A board foot is a unit of measure equivalent to a section of wood 1 foot long, 1 foot wide, and 1 inch thick.
Good girl.
Golly, Uncle Bill. If the wood in this log could be rolled out straight, why, let's see now. That would make a 1 inch board, 1 foot wide, and 920 feet long. Why, that's more than 1/6 of a mile long.
And that's quite a board, isn't it, June? Now, the truth is that this log will be sawed into a number of boards of different sizes and different lengths. Boards that'll find a ready use as the sides of a house, maybe, or for tabletops, or the shelves in the kitchen.
You sound mighty pleased, Uncle Bill.
I am pleased, June. You know, there's a lot of satisfaction in scaling a bunch of logs as big and nice as these are. Because here's proof that protection and good handling of a forest pays off. You know, old Pat Bond, if he was still alive, he'd be pleased as punch.
Pat Bond? Who is he, Uncle Bill?
A man I owe more to than any man I've ever met, June. And I want to tell you about him sometime, but I'd like to save that story until Joe and Sam get here. Okay with you?
Okay, Uncle Bill. But where in the world are those boys?
Well, you've got me, June. Say, I wonder
what,
if...
What, Uncle Bill?
Well, you know, they might be up where the loggers are at work. They probably got so interested they couldn't pull themselves away.
Why, of course. That's exactly what happened.
Well, come on, then. I don't want those two young explorers getting underfoot. Hi there, Sam.
Hello, Ranger Bill. Golly, this is really something, isn't it?
By the way, where's Joe?
Oh, he's around somewhere.
I thought I told you two boys to meet me down at the woods road.
Gee, Ranger Bill, we were heading that way, honest. And then we saw all this stuff going on.
Okay, okay, Sam. I swear you youngsters are harder to ride herd on than 1,000 longhorn steers. I reckon I'll just have to keep an eagle eye on you every minute
that
you're here.
How about your niece, Ranger Bill? She came out here with you today, didn't she?
That's right, Sam. She's back a ways there, out of danger.
Oh, yes, I see her now.
Good gravy. There's that tree falling the wrong way. June, get out of there. Run, girl, run.
She heard you. She's running, Ranger Bill.
She'll never make it.
Holy cat. Look, there's Joe running toward June. Look, Ranger Bill, he's diving at her. Man, oh, man, what a tackle.
We've got to get to them. Come on, Sam.
June! June, where are you?
Here, Uncle Bill. I'm here in the clear.
Come here, let me help you up, June.
Oh, thanks.
There. You all right, girl?
Thank you, Uncle Bill. I think so. Just a bit shaky, that's all. It'll go away.
What happened to Joe?
Right here, Ranger Beale.
Well, that was nice going, son.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate what you did, Joe.
Oh, that's okay.
Say, that tackle was a honey, Joe.
Oh, by the way, June, this is Sam.
Hello, Sam.
Hello, June.
Now that you two know each other, suppose we get out of here where these men can go back to work. I think you've had just about enough of logging close up.
Oh, you're not going to take us back to camp right now, are you, Ranger Beale?
Gosh, we were hoping you'd tell us something about the logging.
Yes, Uncle Bill, and that story about Pat Bond, remember?
Well, take it easy. Just a little bit of patience. Now, we're going up on Shut-Eye Ridge, where we'll be well out of the way of any falling tree. There's something up there I want you to see. Well, here we are, Shut-Eye Ridge. How do you like it? The view and all.
Oh, it's beautiful, Uncle Bill.
Swell.
Gosh, look at all the trees down there where we just came from. You'd never know that they were cutting timber in there right now.
Now, that's a pretty good observation, Sam. It kind of proves, doesn't it, that when it comes to managing a forest, you can have your cake and eat it, too. Because that's what's happening here in Beaver Dam Forest. I wish the same could be said for all of our American forests.
Our American forests. Sounds like a title of a book, doesn't it, Uncle Bill?
Well, come to think of it, June, it is. There is a book called Our American Forest that tells a pretty good story about the woods. In fact, you can find it in the library back home. Now, where were we?
You were saying that it's possible to cut trees down and still keep the forest growing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. You see, a lot of timbermen were handling their forests fine. However, a lot more aren't. Well, too many of our forest woodlands are still being hacked and slashed. Those forests won't produce any more wood for years and years to come.
I read somewhere that there's a lumber shortage in our country right now. Is that true, Ranger Bill?
Yes, Sam, sadly so. We Americans are still cutting and still letting forest fires burn our timber faster than it grows. Of course, that's the broad national picture. But here in Beaver Dam Forest, our plans just don't allow such waste. We do everything we can to protect the timber against fire, against disease and insects, and against careless and bad cutting practices.
And some of those loggers down there told me that you could cut only those trees that are marked for cutting. Is that part of the plan, Ranger Beale?
Yes, that's right, Joe. We call that selective logging. In most cases, it's the best guarantee that the forest will be left in good growing condition.
Well, how do you know which trees to select for cutting, Ranger Bill?
Well, that's part of my job, Sam.
You usually mark the big old trees that have grown all they're going to, don't you, Uncle Bill?
Yes, I mark the mature timber, June. Trees that are fully ripe and ought to be out of here before decay sets in. But, of course, I mark other trees, too. Those that are diseased or have been injured in some way. Because it improves the forest to take such weak or sick trees out. After they're gone, the remaining trees get more light and moisture, and they grow better.
Survival of the fittest, eh, Ranger Bill?
In a way, Joe. The main objective, of course, is to leave the young, good-growing trees so that they can put on their full growth and someday help provide the fine, clear lumber that we need so badly.
Uncle Bill, where does that man you mentioned, Pat Bond, fit into all of this?
Yeah, Ranger Bill. Who was this Pat Bond fella?
Well, before we have the story, suppose we sit down here on the ground and get comfortable, hmm?
Yeah.
There, that's better. Now I'll tell you all about Pat Bond. No, but first, how would you youngsters like to see the logs that they're cutting down there go to the mill next week?
Oh, gee, I'd like that.
Okay, then. We'll plan on that trip to the sawmill next week. And since we'll be going past Beaver Dam Lake, I think that you better bring along your swimming togs. We might have time for a little swim.
Oh, that's nice.
Swell. And you can come in on this party, too, June, if you like.
Just try and keep me from going, Uncle Bill.
All right, then. Now I suppose you want to hear about Pat Bond. Well, just about 25 years ago, Pat Bond brought me up on this little ridge just as I've brought you here today. We'd spent most of the day marking and scaling lumber on that very same area that's being logged now.
Oh, then some of the trees those loggers are cutting down now were trees you left to grow big way back then.
That's right, Joe. This is our second cutting operation in here, and it's all happening just exactly the way Pat Bond predicted it would. You see, Pat Bond was the first Beaver Dam Ranger. He surveyed the land for this public forest. He built the first roads and trails in here, the first telephone lines, and the very first crude fire lookout towers. He made up the first plans for cutting the timber. In fact, plans that I'm using to this very day. You see, I worked with him in those early days as his assistant.
You said that Pat Bond predicted all this would happen, just as it is happening. How do you know that, Uncle Bill?
Well, as we stood here on that day long ago, Pat turned to me, and in his rough, easy manner of talking, he said,
Bill, there ain't a tree anywhere in this world that ain't worth something to somebody. There ain't even a fire-scorched tree or a wormy tree or a crooked limby tree anywhere that don't have some value of one kind or another for someone. You know, Bill, when folks realize that, they'll be more apt to appreciate good, sound trees when they have them. Folks have got to learn to protect the forest, take care of them, use them right. And that's why I'm so keen about the timber we're looking at down there. I kind of feel like I've had a chance to practice what I've been preaching since I got into this forestry service. You know, in 25 years or so, some Beaver Dam ranger, maybe you, Bill, be supervising another timber cutting right here on that same land. And it'll be better timber. Better timber than you're marking and scaling right now. Yeah, you mark my words, Bill.
He was right, wasn't he, Uncle Bill? In everything he said.
Yes, June, he was.
Well, what happened to him, Ranger Bill?
I told you there was something I wanted you to see up here on Shut-Eye Ridge. Now, you see that old stone right beside you there, Sam?
Oh, gee, it's just a big rock. Now, wait, there's something carved on the side.
Go ahead. Read it, Sam.
Pat Bond. Here he lies where he longed to be.
Yeah, that's right. Pat Bond was killed in a forest fire here in Beaver Dam Forest about 10 years ago. It was his final request that his remains be brought to this spot. Incidentally, Pat gave Shut-Eye Ridge its name the day we were up here together. Well, I helped bury Pat here under that simple stone, and that's all he wanted after a mighty, full and valuable life in forest conservation.
Here he lies, where he longed to be.
Pat borrowed his simple little epitaph from Robert Louis Stevenson's poem Requiem, June. I don't think Stevenson would have minded. How does it go now? Something like this, wasn't it? Under the wide and starry sky, dig the grave, let me lie. Glad did I live and gladly die, and I laid me down with a will. This be the verse you grave for me. Here he lies where he longed to be. Home is the sailor, home from the sea. And the hunter, home from the hill.
That was beautiful, Uncle Bill.
Yeah. Here now. No reason for sadness, June. I don't think Pat would have wanted it that way. Let's just think of him as a good soldier who died in the defense of his country's forests.
I guess that goes for all forest rangers. They're good soldiers, all right. Protecting our homes by protecting the forests. Protecting us, you might say, because the forests mean so much to all of us.
Good to hear you say that, Joe. Mighty good.
Just heard the second in a series of programs on forest conservation with Bill Scott, Forest Ranger. Now, boys and girls, if you have a pencil and paper handy, I'll give you the name of a book suggested by Ranger Bill. Here it is, Our American Forests by Catherine Glover. Now, did you get that? Our American Forests by Catherine Glover. Next week, our story will be about a storm over the forest. Bill Scott, Forest Ranger, comes to you with a cooperation of the Forest Service, United States Department of Agriculture. The script for Bill Scott is written by Bill Burghoffen and produced for radio by Van Rensselaer Brokamp. Your announcer is Bob Geist.